The Hideous Creature Show.
You can stop smoking your drugs. I'm making tea and toast for Sophie. I'm putting on Radio 4. Everything's normal. I'm not really high on drugs, so you can stop talking your nonsense on my time.
Well, what's the problem, man? Can't we just chill?
No, you can't. You've been chilling long enough. This is reality calling.
But what about you and me? The bond?
There is no bond. You're not a bad person, but I'm afraid to say you are a moron. Now pull your socks up and get your shoes on. Come on, all of you.
Oh, man.
And listen, while we're at it, there are systems for a reason in this world. Economic stability, interest rates, growth. It's not all a conspiracy to keep you in little boxes, all right? It's only the miracle of consumer capitalism that means you're not lying in your own shit, dying at 43 with rotten teeth. And a little pill with a chicken on it is not going to change that. Now, come on. Fuck off.
Portland, Oregon, inside 2202, a.k.a. the Brooklyn Zoo, via the internets. The date is Saturday, 11th, 2012, and I'm one of your hosts, and my name is June.
And my name is Patrick.
And this is the Hideous Creature Show, episode number 151. Thank you, everybody, for coming along and playing fake radio with us on the internets.
I want to say that you are a very funny bastard, June Button. You're very funny, but at the same time, you're also kind of a dick.
Okay.
Because I just remember today you mentioned a comment, and I remember something you did to me at Monday at work, and it was really funny, but for a split second, you had me, and I was just like,
I can't even think about Monday. I mean,
I'm working, and June's just like, how you doing, man? How you doing? You doing great? I'm like, I'm doing great. And then he just looks at me and goes, hey, did you hear Jenny and her baby?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I was just like, I missed what? And then I looked at you and you gave me that look and he just looked like this happy little golden retriever that you wanna come, like when you come home, he's like, we're going outside now, go outside. And he just looked happy and then I was just like, okay, I think you're lying. And then he realized I knew he was lying, so he just took a step back and then he fucking air humped for me, like right in front of me, like, yeah.
I did that. What's a weird thing is I didn't, that wasn't like a preconceived notion. I didn't come up just to see you to do that. That just kind of magically happened.
It came in your head right away.
You looked really, really sad. And I just wanted to boost your emotions by pretending that you missed something epic.
Which makes you much happier when you're sad. I was just really tired. I had a really, last weekend, I was actually last weekend really looking forward to the show. I didn't get here on the show. And I had a really, really, really long, long Saturday and Sunday.
Do you want to talk about what happened? You don't have to.
Yeah, kind of do. I was doing Movie Madness in the morning. And what had happened was that I get a call from my children's mother who says that their cat is really sick. And I just need to take him in. And like, can I take him in because she has to work? And I said, yeah, of course we can. It's the boy's cat. You have to work. And it's just like, oh, you're sick. We'll take you in. You'll get some shots.
Like you had a tummy ache?
There was like vomit everywhere.
So bad tummy ache.
Yeah, there was like vomit everywhere. And she was like, and she actually was telling me on the phone, I don't think he's going to make it. And
Oh, shit.
Like she knew. And she was like, and I really can't miss work. And I hate asking you, but there's no one else here. My roommate's not here. And I was like, of course. It's the boy's cat. That's fine. So we take the cat in, and then we find out that the cat got hit by a car. That's what the vet says. I think the cat got hit by a car. There are all those signs.
Right. And at this point, you had contacted me telling me that we can't do the show.
I said, I'm gonna call you later because we can, like, I have to take the, I'm thinking 4 hours at the most. I'll be over here around 2 or 3, and we'll do the show. Because this was like at 9:30 in the morning. I'm like, 2 or 3... we'll do the show. It'll be great. We'll be fine. But,
well, something that you don't know is that after you told me what had happened, I had called and tried to give you different information. But every time I called you, I got a pocket call. So, or a pocket answer for some reason.
Yeah.
And it would go, you know, it wouldn't send me to voicemail. It would send me right into your pocket. It's all
I have had four people tell me in the last week that they've gotten pocket dials from me. I think my phone switches are just done. So it's new phone. So we get to the, and the vet says, hey, we got, your cat got hit by a car. And your cat's having a hard time breathing. And what you thought was vomit on the front of his chest and his paws, it wasn't vomit. It was mucus because the skin of your cat's mouth is removed from its fucking skull. It's like little chin bone. And that needs to be taken care of. But right now we can't do that.
This is, I don't know if I can, I don't, that might be too much information.
So what had happened was we had to put the fucking cat down. And I know this cat. I've had some very small things with this cat, but I'm just like, it's a cat.
Like text?
No, like there's some nights when I'm feeling lonely and I text a little Squeaker and Squeaker texts me back. It's like, keep your chin up, buddy. I'm rooting for you. Right. Or saying a prayer for you.
Keep being a superstar.
You know, he lies in your lap. He lets you pet you. He's a very lovable cat. But my children are just, this is the first time they have to deal with like their pet dying. You know, when we moved to Portland, we had to get rid of the cat that we had and give her to a friend. But it was like, it was Liz's cat at the time. It wasn't their cat. This is like their cat. And so they're sad. And I just spent the whole time just like worrying about them. But at the same time, because you're worrying about them and I'm spending a lot of energy, you start to notice things that are really fucked up. No, I understand. And the vets were really great. And I don't have a problem with them. But then I start like, and I'm just trying to deal with it. So the only thing I can deal with when I'm dealing with my two children who are just sad as hell, and I hate it, them being sad. And I'm just, do you know, it's like you see, like, death doesn't really bother me as much. It's what happens to other people when death, that's the shit that gets me. Like, if somebody that I know, that you and I know dies, I'll feel a certain way, you'll feel a certain way, but what will actually make me feel weak, like,
empathy?
Really empathy, is when I see you going through your process of that, and that actually makes me want to, like, take care of you or whoever it is. For me, I kind of just tune it off. I just go, okay, well, let's get to practical sense here right now. Like, I want to get to, like, okay, what are we going to do? Maybe I'm a fucking cold-hearted fuck, but when I see other people going through sadness, it makes me go through, I want to take care of you. And that's the thing that I was like totally in on. But when I do that and I'm trying to struggle it, when you're around two 11-year-olds and you're just trying to hug them and tell them like, and find a new way to say the same thing to make it sound like you're not repeating yourself, but reword your phrases so they sound different. He's in a better place, or he's not going to be in pain anymore. Right. And trying to find that, you start looking around and you go on autopilot and you start looking around and going, why am I sitting in this, like in this veterinarian hospital, this grieving room? It has like tissues out and it has candles.
And now I'm going to sound like an asshole. There's a grieving room in the vet.
There was a, in the vets.
So, just so this is clear for me, mm-hmm. You walk in, mm-hmm. And there's a place where you give the pet to the veterinarian.
And then we go into an examination room.
And then you go into the examination room, and then you go into, when you realize that the
cat's
going to have to...
Put him down, yeah.
Put him down, you go into a grieving room.
You go into a room where there's a couch, there's like a little armchair, it's a
glory hole.
Huh? There's no glory hole.
With an old horse.
There's like a sink, but there's candles everywhere. There's like a couch. There's tissue boxes on every surface.
Do you think that's for the kids, though?
No,
I mean,
no,
did your kids appreciate it? Did Riley appreciate
it? No, they didn't appreciate the tissues. They were just like grieving. Like, they didn't look at me and go, God damn it, I'm glad someone put these tissues here because I really need them. They used them. I was looking and there were like plaques on the wall of like, you know, to Betsy, the best chefy we ever had. Love mom and dad. And I'm like, I just felt like I am the most cold-hearted bastard in the world because the cat is dead and I care about my children, but fuck him. I don't really care that the cat is dead. And I'm missing something in the human condition about like not being able to connect with like pets the way that they have these. They give us a handbook. They gave us a handbook with like, it was almost like a coloring book, how to grieve with your pet's loss.
Made for spinsters.
And I was just like, this is ridiculous. And I'm thinking, I am just the coldest motherfucker I know. And then I just judged on that.
Well, do you think that, I mean, because you have kids, there's having a human children is way more important than having an animal.
Yeah, but some people don't have human children.
Right. But you're not a beast. You're a realist. You have human children. People that have, I mean, if when Mingus dies, I am actually going to have a monument. I'm actually having the Statue of Liberty knocked down. When Mingus dies, I'm going to have a Mingus party. I'm going to actually invite a bunch of people and just go, this is silly. I understand, but this is my little kitty cat I've had for a long time. Let's just get drunk and like fuck off. Listen to Charles Mingus.
There was one thing that my son said to me. And this is the thing that kind of got me. He just was like, because they have two cats. They have a cat named Squeaker and they have a cat named Morris. And he just
looks. Squeaker's the one that
got put down. And Morris, he just goes, I just feel. I'm like, buddy, I know it's really hard. He's like, no. He's in pain. I just feel so bad for Morris because all I picture. And he would just like, his little lips quivering. Oh, no. He's like, all I picture is a little yellow tabby sitting on my porch waiting for his brother who's never going to come home.
Oh, fuck.
And I was just like, oh, dude, don't say shit like that. That gets me. It's not right. And that's how, I mean, you know them. That's how they are. They have this whole, like, world of, like, things. And
that crushes me.
Yeah, it just was like, that's super sweet. And I'm like, I know, it's going to be hard. And they're dealing with it much, much better. It took them a while. We buried the cat on Monday, or, you know, we buried it in their mom's house backyard. And we lit some candles and, you know, dug them in there. And Oregon soil is very rocky.
And the boys are okay now?
Yeah, they're in their grieving process. I would say stage 4, stage 5, if I had to look it up, like on a B scale.
Well, safe home, Squeaker.
Safe home, Squeaker. We love
you. Safe home, Squeaker. We love you. All right, well, on a happier note, why don't we jump into movie madness, Patrick?
It's like parking your car in certain neighborhoods in the Bronx. You just don't do it.
I know who that is.
I know who that is, too.
That's crazy-ass Nick Cave.
It's Nick Cage.
Cage?
Yeah, it's not Nick Cave.
Sorry.
We're not. This is not Wings of Desire or Johnny Bravo.
Okay, well, let's get another one, please.
There's no problem leading a double life. It's the triple and quadruple lives that get you in the end.
I think I know it. Patrick, I don't believe that you got this so weird. Huh? Like, usually you're so good at, like, movie madness, like,
this isn't
setting
mine,
them up
man.
And stuff.
This isn't mine. This is SF Dave's.
SF Dave.
We didn't
back.
Say that yet, actually. We fucked up. Oh, well. This is SF Dave.
Should I talk about SF Dave?
You probably should, seeing how SF Dave sent us this clip.
I did not know that you were going to do the SF Dave clip.
I told you that clips. In the car, but you were doing
I was driving.
Things. You were driving.
SF Dave and I, for anybody who does not know, have had some conflicts in the past. We have reconciled since then with just emailing each other. I think that he was just kind of going through some shit and feeling unappreciated. And I apologized is basically what happened.
So is everything cool with you? Cause he sent these to me and I was like, oh, and I didn't actually message him back. Cause I was like, oh, okay, I'll have them.
Well, I don't get his stuff through Facebook. I get his stuff through emails, but right. Not through my personal emails. It goes through the Hideous Creature Show email.
Right. Well, I got this movie clips bundle, and I was like, okay, it's done. So are you guys fine now? Is that why I got it done?
We're fine.
Okay, great. I don't have to feel like a 3-year-old hiding behind a couch while my parents are fighting anymore.
No, and you know what? SF Dave, I want to say it on the podcast that we do appreciate you, and it's just, you're a good dude.
Yeah, I guess so.
And going beyond, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
And beyond?
I'm done with
and
it.
And beyond?
I'm done. I'm not done with SF Dave. I'm just done with his drama.
Well, you're done with what? Me and
drama.
SF Dave?
Yeah, I'm really done with your fucking little, you and SF Dave are going to have a little love canal right now. It's like, oh, it's like we just got remarried and renewed our vows.
You're just being done. A dick.
No, I'm not being a dick. I'm just like, SF Dave stopped and we're all wondering about it. Now he's back. And it's just like, I don't have any more emotional fucking thing to put into this. I have no more emotion.
I just it just happens between.
It does.
It's happens. Weird, but it's weird to have like a relationship via the internet, because I've never talked to him in person.
Maybe you guys should get online together and like Skype it out and jerk off.
Nope.
Get some coffee.
Although, again, SF Dave, if you're ever in Portland, you're welcome to stop by again.
You've always said that. You've always maintained that. I'm not in the middle of this. I'm going to shut the fuck up.
All right. Well, let's get one more movie madness if we could.
To escape the Soviet Union, our family pretended to be Jewish. Little about my life has been kosher ever since.
Got it.
It's Nicolas Cage. I don't know. It could be hundreds of them.
Got it. Got it. All right. For anybody who does not know, we play a game here on the Hideous Creature Show where Patrick chooses a movie and plays movie clips throughout the show. And Jenny and I try to guess what the movie clips are. In this instance, it's only me and Patrick trying to guess it. And our good friend SF Dave has got clips for us. And that Jenny is not here. And we wish her the best of help. By the way, Patrick, we had talked earlier about the predictions that we had made about the baby being born.
Right.
And Jenny is not here, so we had just talked to her, and she gave us the dates that the baby is going to be born. I'm wondering how close we are. Who's close? Did I get it?
You predicted that the baby would be born on August 4th, so you are 8 days too early.
Damn it.
Jenny predicted that the baby would be born today.
And I just talked to her before we started the show, and she said that she's fine. Actually, she's going to a get-together that I'll probably see her at later.
And then I predicted that she's going to have the baby on Wednesday, August 15th at 2:27 p.m.
I think you're going to win.
It could be born tomorrow, and then she beats me by a day.
I don't know, Patrick. I think that...
I don't think it's fair to say that we're playing Price is Right rules. Like, if you go over, you can't get it back. I don't think that's fair to bring that in there, so I won't do that. But if we are playing Price is Right rules, I'm going to win.
You know what would be awesome? If it's a boy.
It's not going to be a boy.
Yeah, but what if there was some weird mojo in the universe? Bloop, boy comes out and it's twins.
I don't think it will.
One of them looks like you and one of them looks like me.
That would be kind of scary.
That would be freaky. But, you know, a guy can dream. A fella can dream.
A fella
can sit and dream.
I wanted to share with our listeners, as you picked me up this afternoon, which I was very grateful for. And as we were driving, you started, like, bopping around and singing this song that I thought you were making up, but then I realized that you were actually singing it. And it was the one that was, like, the Tour de France one.
Right. Well, what happened is that we saw it's very sunny in Portland, Oregon, and Portland is very, very, very full of people that ride bikes, that commute via bicycle. And some of them are very ambitious with their bike riding, and thus they wear clothing that makes them look like they're in the Tour de France.
All the advertisements.
Right.
That's why you went going off on it.
And we call them Tour de Francers. And Patrick, I was driving Patrick to the show today, and we were at a stoplight, and we look over to our right, and there was a Tour de Francer. And I thought about this old song that Kraftwerk did. Is that the correct pronunciation? Kraftwerk?
Yeah, that's
Kraftwerk.
That one is, yeah.
Kraftwerk. Anyway, and it was called Tour de France, and it was in the movie Breakin', and Turbo did this wizard thing with the...
Is that the one where he walked up the walls?
Yeah.
Oh, that was Kraftwerk? I didn't know that. Dun, 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 you just said Turbo and Wizard.
And I was singing it, and it's got French lyrics in it. Are they French?
No, they're German.
Are they German? But
they're German.
I don't know. I always thought they were French, but I'd be like, "Et la prochaine envers Tour de France, et l'autre signe de Paris d'air Tour de France."
It sounds like you're speaking
and
language.
And Patrick's like, "What the fuck? How do you know that song?" And I was like, "It's Kraftwerk, Tour de France, man."
When you said Kraftwerk, I thought Rammstein until like an hour later. I'm like, "No, Kraftwerk." They're both from Germany, and I just interchanged them. I wanted to ask you a question about bicyclists in Portland in general, because we have the Tour de Francers.
Right.
And then we have, on the other extreme, we have the crazy circus people who ride like the 18 feet bikes.
I need to be seeners.
Then we ride the people who have the fixed gears. And then we have the girls who like, I'm pretending it's 1967 and I have a basket of goodies that I'm bringing to my co-op.
I'm kind of in the 60s thing.
Is that the one that you like? That's the question I wanted to ask.
You see my bicycle.
Yeah.
But
who is the girl? Like, which one are they? Is she going to be riding a fixed gear bike? Or is she going to be like, oh, there's a basket
on
my bike?
Like, what girl? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about, like, you see people, and some people make you angry, and then you see certain people, and you're just like, no, that makes sense for them.
I don't know. Portland is a weird place.
It's a weird bike town.
Not necessarily. I mean, not saying, oh, Portland's so weird, you better get your shit together because your brain's going to explode when you get here.
I forgot about the homeless on, like, the 10-speed with that janky chain. It's just when they're riding by. I forgot about those.
I don't know what you're asking, though.
I guess I'm asking is, like, which type of bike is okay, like, when you see people on it? Like, because I just feel like all bikes, when I see certain people and I go, oh, God, you're just trying so hard. The Tour de Francers are trying. The circus people are trying. The freaking fixed-geared bicycle people are trying. I'm thinking like the, like, oh, it's the 1960s bikes. You're trying the least, so I'm not as angry at you. Because when I'm driving or walking around Portland, I see people, I'm just like, I'm angry at you for riding your stupid bike. Because it's not a mode of transportation. It's like, look at me.
There are a lot of people in Portland like to do the look at me thing. But as far as, I don't know, people just want to get from point A to point B, but I think the only people that kind of make me angry are the fixies, the guys and women that ride the fixed gear bike, and talking on their cell phone with no brakes, and then when that are pissed that cars are actually driving down the road. And I always think of those people as, you know, I see people get mad. The people that are on the fixed gear bikes get mad at cars, and they, will hit a car and shit like that. And I always think that they're the asshole at the bar that is like a buck 30, picking a fight with some cage fighter that weighs 100 or 250. Eventually, you're gonna get fucking knocked the fuck out, and you need to just realize that we can all share the same space. Whoever's the biggest asshole kind of will end up losing eventually.
Right.
Especially that there is a thing called inertia.
I don't know. Is that French?
Yeah.
Is that like Kraftwerk?
Inertia. That you can't win. You just, I don't know. I'm so scared when I'm riding my bike. I'm just constantly aware. I try to be aware.
I go on the
I'm
road.
Not saying I'm hoity-toity. Just don't be a dick.
I just go on roads that no one
Why am I
run?
Doing a tirade now?
For that, because I'm starting to get a little angry thinking about bikes, and I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be that guy.
Anyway, all right, so we're gonna jump into a fake break. We come back, we got some douchebags for you guys. Until then, enjoy this little audio tidbit.
Sky blue waters, a big, fresh land. You can see the bigness, feel the freshness. And in Ham's beer, you can taste it. A taste as big and fresh as the land of sky blue waters. Ham's. Ham's.
Refreshing as the land of sky blue waters. Ham's the beer refreshing. Ham's the beer refreshing.
Back. Feels nice. Good to be back, yeah.
Feels very good. I feel rejuvenated. I feel
like I'm in a hug.
Feel spry.
You know how you have a good friend who gives really good long hugs? I feel like that.
Back at you, brother.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Bra. Bro. Good hugging. It's awesome hugging. Now you're giving me the evil eye. I do not appreciate that. I feel like I'm being dumped. Anyway, we got an email from a listener that I found. Actually, I'm sorry. We need to preface this with something else. Is that there has been a lot of people that have called in and left messages. And the only reason we are not playing messages on this episode is because we don't have the correct chords to do it at this point.
I like how you ripped the veil of our production away and shattered the illusion to all of our listeners. Because at first, they probably thought we actually knew what we're doing. But now they're just like, ah, oh, they're fucking hacks who are probably in a bedroom somewhere instead of at their posh little studios, which we know they are.
No, I think they know that we're hacks because we lost our Skype account because of, due to lack of payment, which would have been perfect because we just could have paid.
Did we do that?
Yeah.
Oh, was that the day we bought more beer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We that did was the 12 that. Pack instead of the 6 pack.
And no one was calling us at the time.
Anyway, again, we appreciate everybody calling and thank you guys for doing it. Unfortunately, they're going to have to sit in purgatory, phone purgatory for a little bit until we buy an adapter so that we can play them. Again, don't stop sending them. You can send it to Patrick's cell phone, which is 971-212-6642. Just keep sending them. We just we gotta link them in. And it, from what Patrick said, is there's quite a bit on there.
There's a couple of them. There's a couple of the same person from California. I don't listen to this shit, so I don't know what it is. I just like, oh, it's California. I listen to it and go, I'll save that one. I'll give it to June. He'll find it
cool
funny.
Cool for school?
No, I just I'm busy. I'm a busy guy. I'm not busy at all. I've been listening to him. I know you're out there.
Yeah, but we're gonna hook those up and we're gonna play them and listen to them. Also, I'd like to do a at the same time the people that have been so nice to put stuff on the iTunes as like a review. I would like to read those at the same time. Maybe next week or something. We'll do a show on that.
Right. Let's get back to you were prefacing what we were going to say with the listeners who have called in, but now you wanted to talk about an email that you got about a listener who had a question.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We got an email, and I think we got an email about this before of a while ago, but we've got a recent email, and it was, why do we call fake break fake break?
That's a very good question, Catherine.
Do you actually know, Patrick?
You just started calling it fake break.
That's actually kind of true.
You were just like, we're going to take a fake break. And I went, what's a fake break? You're like, we're just going to cut it and we're not going to take a break. And then every time we cut it, we always took a break.
Right.
Every time.
Well, what happened is the origin was that every time we do something, but we do it half ass, we'd always call it a fake.
Yeah. Like, this is a fake radio show.
Right. Fake radio or
fake talent. We're fake talent.
Exactly. Or I got a fake idea about something, right, but you're half assed about it.
We did do that.
Like, I got a fake life going on right now. You do too.
I got a fake life.
Right. And that's where fake break came from. That's where all the fake bullshit came from.
And that's weeded it out. But fake break has stayed tried and true.
But they're real breaks. Like, for instance, today Patrick and I sat on the front porch of the Brooklyn Zoo and had a couple beers and talked about
when I'm not things here and Jenny and June are doing a show by themselves, fake break is like 5 minutes, let's go pee, boom, right back on the mics. You guys are hot. You guys are pros. It's me that brings you down.
I know that I spent a lot of this week's fake break catching up on Shark Week 2011 just to get ready for Shark Week 2012, which is about to happen. We're amidst in Shark Week again, Patrick.
Mm. Are you a big fan of Shark Week?
Oh, I live for it. And you know why? It's because you can never tell what's going to happen the next year. You're going, oh my fucking God.
Cliffhanger?
What is sharks going to do that they haven't been doing for 20 million years?
I always looked at people who like Shark Week and said, I wish I could be as smart as you and want to understand how you can get the show. It's way beyond my head.
It's a big...
I don't understand the concepts. They're too big. Too Wagnerian for me.
I was watching whatever channel Shark Week saw. Is it History
it's
Channel?
Discovery Channel.
Discovery Channel, thank you. And they had a whole thing of all the shows on Discovery Channel, like I don't know, all the shows,
Mythbusters, How
the
It Works,
dudes living in the woods, guy jumping on a helicopter, and they all did a hey, happy birthday, Shark Week.
How old is Shark Week now? Is it like 20 years now?
It's for the Discovery Channel. I think it's like 10 years.
Wow,
because I remember it being in Hawaii and doing the mistake of watching Shark Week, and then and like 6 hours later, I'm like paddling out and going, oh, fucking shit.
That is the stupidest thing. Do you actually really like Shark Week?
It's a weird thing.
Oh, no. You're going to admit you actually really like Shark Week.
I watch later. Shark Week, but I like to watch post-year Shark Week. For instance, I can't handle Shark Week 2012.
This year.
But I was totally ready at 2010 for 2011. So I watched 2011. I just don't want to know if there's any evolution of sharks. Like, if they're voting for Romney, I don't want to know about it.
Right.
It fucks me up. And especially the breaching thing, which has nothing to do with the Republican Party. Sorry, I've been drinking a little bit. But it scares the shit out of me. I think they're the predator that scares the shit out of me, because there's like multi-dimensions. Like, you're in the water and like you're buoyant. And right. All of a sudden there's a shark that lives in there.
And can move and doesn't have to deal with my gravity.
And eats me's.
Right.
And you's.
I have a problem watching Shark Week, and the reason I never gave a fuck about Shark Week is because my eyes get hurt because the screen is fucking just blue the entire time. Like, you're just looking at shades of blue, and that kind of, like, I'm just like, hey, throw fucking some yellow or some white or some
you're
green
in
there.
You're playing the choking game.
What?
You're playing the choking game.
What's the choking game?
Will you strangle yourself to asphyxiate?
No, they're sharks. They're in fucking water, man. It's blue around them.
All right.
I don't know what the choking game is because I only watch fucking like Rita or fucking Welcome Back, Cotter when I'm jerking off.
Anyway, Shark Week 2012 is a little too much for me. So, Patrick, why don't we do a little bit of movie madness there, killer?
Gentlemen. The new Uzi machine pistol. Big firepower in a small package. This little baby uses 9mm hollow points, 20, 25 round extendable mags, rear flip adjustable sights. Silencer comes standard. Excellent recoil reduction. Muzzle jump reduced 40%, 60% improved noise suppression. You could pump a mag into me right now and never wake the guy in the next room. Of course, that would eliminate your opportunity for repeat business.
You know that. I got this, right?
You got...
Did you get it?
I think I got it. I don't remember the title of this movie.
I don't know how I owned this. I think it was like roommates leaving and leaving shit behind.
Yeah.
I got the DVD right over there.
Can you watch it? Yeah, I don't remember the thing. It's called something. Something of
something. It is called something. Very good, my friend.
But I don't remember what
it is. You are a word smith. You got another one there, wordy smithy? Sorry, I didn't even...
Did you get any of that?
Was that the clip? I was drinking a beer.
Yeah.
That Can we was... get it again?
No, I don't like that one. Yeah, I'll get it again.
Yeah, speaking of the microphone.
Oh, the dance music was just taking it off.
Into the microphone, Patrick.
All right, here's another one.
Of all the weapons in the vast Soviet arsenal, nothing was more profitable than Avtomat Kalashnikova, model of 1947, more commonly known as the AK-47 or Kalashnikov. It's the world's most popular assault rifle, a weapon all fighters love. An elegantly simple 9-pound amalgamation of forged steel and plywood. It doesn't break, jam, or overheat. It will shoot whether it's covered in mud or filled with sand. It's so easy, even a child can use it, and they do. The Soviets put the gun on a coin. Mozambique put it on their flag. Since the end of the Cold War, the Kalashnikov has become the Russian people's greatest export. After that comes vodka, caviar, and suicidal novelists. One thing's for sure, no one was lining up to buy their cars.
You know what this movie's called, right?
Yeah. I don't. Well, duh. But that's all true about that weapon. That is an amazing, amazing weapon.
Is it just because it's so simple? Or just well made?
It's got a simple mechanics to it. I'm not going to go into like why the M16 sucks. No, or the AR-15 sucks versus the AK-47.
The AR-15s are shit. That was only amusing for you. You're the only person.
Well,
in
because
the
you looked at me like, I don't know the difference between bread or butter.
I know what the difference between a Beretta and a butter is.
Right. You got your Beretta and butter down. That's good.
I got my Beretta and butter. I also was making.
But yeah, it's seriously, the AK-47 is a great. Great weapon.
You've shot one?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Many, many times.
I've never shot one.
So it's a fun gun. It costs so much to shoot though. It's just the rounds are very, very, very expensive.
Okay. So why don't we go into Movie Madness for episode 151 of The Hideous Creature Show.
I'm going to fly her brains out.
I was going fishing.
It sounds like what you were fishing for was sex with a 12-year-old girl.
Paging Dr. Douchebag.
The Insane Clown Posse, the hip-hop duo known for crass lyrics and creepy clown makeup, is offended by the FBI calling their fans a gang, and they're suing the FBI for it. Rappers Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope announced today.
I didn't know that was their names.
I was trying. I was like, get through a coffee. No. Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope announced at the start of the annual.
Is it T-W-O or T-O-O?
It's just the number two.
Oh.
Violent J.
T-W-O.
And Shaggy 2 Dope. Announced it. There's no letters, man, but I know what you mean. But yeah, not even. No. It's nay from column A, nay from column B. Let's go to column C and hope we can work it out. They announced these two rappers, Violent J. So the FBI called the Insane Clown Posse's fans a gang. And they said, fuck you, we're suing you for calling our fans. I guess it's like a weird, we're suing you for someone for slander on somebody else.
Violent J and
Shaggy 2 Dope announced at the start of their Gathering of the Juggalos Arts and Music Festival that they will sue the FBI for naming these Juggalos, which are their fans, a loosely organized hybrid gang. Hey, the FBI called our fans a gang, and we're going to fucking sue you for it. How dare you?
It's funny that I just think that maybe they're thinking, you know, fuck you, Mom. Fuck you, Mom. But it's the FBI.
It's the FBI. Right. Mom's dead. Maybe Mom's dead. Maybe Shaggy's mom's dead.
But also when you sue the FBI and you actually if supposedly that you won, you'd basically be taking money from the taxpayers.
I didn't even think about that. They're suing the taxpayers.
Right. It's not only is your fake gang non-lucrative.
What's lucrative for them?
I don't know, whatever.
I'm sure they have lots of money.
I think that they have a lot of gumption, but I don't think they're illegal, like the cholo gangs and shit like that.
Oh, no. I think the ICP has lots of money. The ICP does, and I think they're going to sue the FBI, and who's going to pay for it? We are going to pay for it after the thing that you just said. And it's just like, oh, well, then that means your fans are, in theory, all the money that's coming out of their paychecks are going to pay for it.
I don't think anybody's ever sued the FBI or one that I know of, at least like a rap band.
I think that's a new how many entities have sued the FBI before? That's a new show.
I'm sure people have. I mean, you know, sue whoever you want. But suing the FBI, I mean, it's like suing the your local school community.
Or brick
you're
wall.
You're fucking your right. Lifestyle.
It blows up. Yeah. I just think they're, I think they're smart, though. I think they're smart because their fans are going to go, fucking see how much they love us.
That's exactly right. And actually, when we had talked about this before, that they're going to drop a record pretty soon.
I think they're coming up with a record. When is their record coming up? I bet it's coming out in September. They need they want a month build up, and it's going to drop in September. And the people that don't know them is like, is this that controversial band that's suing the FBI? And I'm like, no, it's just a bunch of fucking idiots with clown makeup and shitty lyrics. It really is. And if you like them, you like them. That's great. But really, they're not good.
No, I always have this. I would always love to love every kind of music I hear because it just make you happy wherever you live.
Right.
But I can't.
You can't do it.
I don't know. I can't do it. No bueno.
Moving away from the crappy music world, and let's talk about this story. A man was injured while trying to sneak into a Nickelback concert at the Saratoga Performing Arts venue.
His name was Patrick Williams.
His name was Kevin Baudette, and he was 22, and he was from Tupper Lake, and he slipped down a creek embankment near the merchandise tent.
For anybody who doesn't know, on the show, Patrick here hates Nickelback. He despises Nickelback.
That is so untrue.
You hate Nickelback. No, every time not. You give it, you hate Nickelback. And don't say that it's not true.
Is Nickelback a deal breaker? If you meet the person of your dreams, like you want to fall in love with, is Nickelback a deal breaker for you? Like, she's like, I love Nickelback. There's no band I love more than Nickelback. She could look at you and go, I love Charlie Parker. I love Miles Davis. I love listening to him. But Nickelback is my number one. Is Nickelback a deal breaker for you?
Ooh, that's a hard question.
Let's think about that. Soulmate. I'm talking sober. Her eyes just like, you see like fucking, you see the world in her eyes. Or his eyes. Sorry. Don't want to, for all of our other listeners. I want
at
you to think
31, I would say no. At 41, sure.
Nickelback is a deal breaker for me.
Really? Seriously.
It like really
if you
is.
You met the woman of your dreams, and you would like, ditch her for Nickelback.
She's like, I love all the music you're playing, but if she's like, I'm going to listen to it on my own, I'd be like, you're great. But hey, you know what? It's been 2 hours since I've heard some Nickelback, and we've been driving in a car. I really need to hear some Nickelback right now. I'd be like, we're done.
What if
you're right. I'm fucking an idiot. I'd be like,
No. I've actually kind of taken it upon myself now that you've said that and you've laid the gauntlet down. I'm going to start listening. I don't think I've ever listened to a Nickelback song in my life. I'm going to listen to some Nickelback until I find a song I like. And then you and I have to go through like some personal changes. Like we have to decide if we can move on this relationship, if we can continue the podcast.
Because
that's just...
Wait, what happens if you like a song?
Yeah, what happens if I do? Well, I'd have to... You know, I'd fucking shoot myself, but that goes beyond.
Maybe you should. I'm a little easier than you, because I'm actually saying, no, I couldn't do it, but yeah, I could do it. I could. I'd be like, fine.
No, I'm talking about you and I.
I know, and now it's like the other relationship in my life, which is you and I. I'd be like, no. And I want to ask Jenny this question. And Jenny would be like, fuck, it'd be fine. I'd just ignore it. Because Jenny's fucking like golden like that.
Deep. You got to look deep. You got to find it. Find it.
If there's any girls out there that have like a secret love of Nickelback and don't want to share it with them, share it with me. I'm actually probably the one who'd be like, that's great. That's fine. Anyway.
971-212-6642. Send you letters. You got another one, Patrick?
Official said, no, I'm not done.
Shit.
Official said last evening an individual appeared to be intoxicated. That is shocking. Who was outside the venue, apparently lost his footing and slipped down to the embankment. And the fire department helped the injured man up the embankment. After medical crews were unable to retrieve him, they could not tell the extent of the man's injury. Saratoga is a crack fucking unit of people. The guy was acting on his own in a highly intoxicated state near a gorge. He slipped over the edge of Geyser Brook Gorge and fell about 40 feet.
Oh, wow.
To get into a Nickelback concert. That is fucking, like, seriously, if you were Nickelback, if you were the band Nickelback and you heard this, wouldn't you be like, that dude deserves a ticket? Wouldn't you give him a ticket? I'd give him a fucking ticket.
Like a ticket to a free show?
Yeah, like, no, like not even a ticket to a free show. Hey, dude, where are you? We're playing. We're not in Saratoga anymore. We're going to fly your ass out, put you up in a hotel for a night. You're going to see a show and hang out with us for like 45 minutes because that's all we can fucking do. Because, dude, we're Nickelback. I would totally do that. You fell down because you tried to sneak in. You love us that much. You're getting in. Do you think Nickelback's going to do that? No. You know why? Because Nickelback fucking sucks dick.
Did Nickelback do that, though?
No. I'm just saying that's what they should do.
They should do it.
Right.
Know.
Maybe I could get a new job working PR for Nickelback.
You should.
I'd be really good at that job.
Hello, I'm Patrick Williams with Nickelback with Leo Baby.
Craig Charles. Craig Charles loves his fans. He loves his fans so much that he took Melanie Sauce's mother out for $400 of free shopping right around Thanksgiving. How many turkeys did your mother get, Melanie?
I got 6 fucking turkeys and I bought them all in the name of Nickelback. And I climbed the wall and I fell.
Craig Charles, how many pumpkin pies did you especially make for Marjorie?
14.
That's what Craig Charles does for fans. What does Creed do for the fans? Little dumping shit. That's what I would do for Nickelback. Guess what? I need a resume for this job. I just get a recording of that and send it in. All right, the next story we got for Douchebag of the Week, and I don't like to do this, and I hate to do it, but I have to do it. This is what the first line of the story reads.
This is copy.
Getting pulled over for rolling through a stop sign is whack. This is on the internet. Fucking some asshole, some 22-year-old gets fucking paid to write that sentence.
Wait. I'm sorry. We had talked about, like, a copy being written as said whack.
Yep.
But it's not a real print, right? It's not like something that it's not a real paper. If somebody writes on the internet, I think they should have like all kinds of wackadoo wackiness.
No,
write on it.
No, the internet right now is actually like there. I don't know about this. The New Times. This is coming off the BrownardPalmBeach.com. Like, they have editors. They have people. They hire writers. You and I could actually get drunk, jerk off, eat our own fucking jizz, and regurgitate on the page and come up with something better than this shit. This is wrong. This pisses me off.
Well, see, you're a poet with the jizz eating, but I am more of a logistic kind of writer.
Getting pulled over, going through a stop sign, it's like rolling through a lake of jizz.
No, but I understand. But, I mean, I also understand that if it's a blog or if it's something internet written, then you kind of
can
misuse the language. But if it's printed, it should be written well.
Well, you should be a fucking writer. And there's
unless you're in Barbados.
Are you right for the Oregonian? Because that paper is not written well. It really isn't. And I learned that.
Anyway, what we're talking about is a lot of copy that we read on the show is just written like shit. And we joke around, you know, like we could write better, although I would take some certain liberties with the language.
Yeah, it would actually take about 2 hours, and these people probably have fucking 4 years of a journalistic English degree. It would actually take about fucking 2 hours of us to actually...
You get so sour about it.
I'm very angry. Fuck this. Anyway.
19.
Last July, Lila Tarantino claimed she was pulled over by an officer...
Who was chilling.
With the sheriff's department, chilling and Jax Lillin.
And maxin' relaxin'. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to where eventually we're 90 and we're reading a paper and like, these dorks were farting around the fucking bullshit. Right.
And we're not going to know what that means because we don't have like these weird like ankle phones.
Well, everything's going to be... everything is going to be abbreviated.
Oh, God, I hate that.
It's all going to be acronyms. Everything is going to be acronyms. Like, even the word the is going to be acronym, but it's T-H-E.
It's going to be like a T with, like, two lines and a fucking heart over it.
And it's going to be like, dummy. Like, you don't understand, dummy. Like a sad face.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Lila Tarantino was pulled over by an officer with the sheriff's department. Tarantino says she came to a full stop and should have never been pulled over in the first place. A passing cop pulled a U-turn, flashed the lights, and rolled up behind her. Tarantino claims that the cop immediately drew his weapon, pulled her from the car, and refused to explain why he pulled her over. Tarantino's young two children watched all of this unfold from inside her car. The cop then placed Tarantino in the back of the squad car where she allegedly sat for 2 hours. When backup arrived, Tarantino was strip searched on the side of the road where passing motorists could see everything. Then,
so she was naked?
I'm assuming so.
Strip search, I guess. I'm sorry.
They strip search. They probably lift it. They could probably do it like, I don't know if you can call
and
it
And these
tastefully.
Are all dude cops?
There was actually one. I'm reading the story down.
There's one dude cop?
No, there's one female cop. Then in a gruesome twist, because I actually can say that sentence really well. Then in a gruesome twist, a female officer forcibly removed a tampon from Tarantino. Presumably the cops were looking for drugs, but the lawsuit notes that a drug sniffing dog was never called and the cops never found any contraband or anything illegal. So after they strip searched her on the side of the road, the female cop had to go in there, I'm sure with those wonderful blue latex gloves, and rip a tampon out of her while her two children are sitting in the car.
In a happy note, she met her husband, Officer Douche Ridicory. Where? What state did this happen in?
Florida.
Okay, never mind.
Sorry, it took me a moment to realize, like, where
pulling
reality happens.
Pulling a tampon out of somebody?
Because they think you have drugs in there. Like, when does it fucking stop? When does, like, when did, like, terrorism, like, this whole concept of terrorism, and you could have anything, when did it turn into, like, okay, you ran a stoplight? Oh, this is my reason to think that you are the, your children are the fucking spawn of Satan, and I will kill them with a crucifix. When did it give you a right to say you have drugs in your car? Hey, lady, you ran a stoplight. Don't do it again. Here's a fucking ticket. Wouldn't that turn into, like, anybody could be carrying, like, AK-47s in their fucking car?
Well, there was little Gaddafi and little Osama bin Laden sitting in the back seat. Like,
there was little Pauly Shore sitting there, too, but I'm sure his mom got away. And he's the biggest terror of them all.
Bad comedy is very terrorist.
Waka waka.
Going, going.
That was for you, Jenny.
I don't know what to do with this.
I don't. Like,
I think I just.
When does this shit stop? Like,
no, pulling a tampon out of another human being, an American.
For
it sounds. This might sound weird, but another American, because we all live in America. That's where the majority of people that we love exist. How would you feel if somebody like, an officer pulled a tampon out of you thinking you were a terrorist?
I wouldn't.
Am I wrong? No, I mean, wait, one sec.
Or a drug dealer. Like, someone did this. If this was like my mom, or this is like the mother of my children, who, hey, I've had issues with, I'd be like, how fucking dare you? Like, she ran a red light and, like, now she has fucking drugs and guns in the car and we gotta search her. This is a shit I just
those
don't. Those kids are weapons. Those kids are ticking time bombs ready to go off.
Well, also, they have to have some sort of scent for the dogs.
But the dogs weren't even called.
No, but that's what I'm saying, is they need, like, you know, a passive
and maybe,
scent.
And what I think is, like, Miss Tarantino was just sitting there going, like, fuck you, do whatever you need to do. And then it turned to, like, I'm going to take your tampon out. Is that all right? And she's just like, what? I think she was just like, I got nothing to hide. But these cops is like, we got to find something to justify our fucking jobs. And cops do great jobs sometimes, and they do shitty jobs otherwise. It's like people who fucking mop floors. I'm not saying things about that, but fucking get over it and just use some fucking prudence in your judgment.
All right. In conclusion, Patrick, you
mm-hmm.
very, I like the way you
I'm
get
angry.
Boisterous.
I'm fucking angry now.
I love it when you're angry.
Yeah, most people do. They're like, oh, you're alive.
Alive. Beautiful.
Fucking A.
All right. What's up?
For the stories for Douchebag for episode 151 is we have ICP suing the FBI because they called their fans a gang. Then we have a man who got hurt breaking into a Nickelback show. Is it him? Is it Nickelback? You be the judge. Story
11.
And then the third one we had is the cops in Florida who decided to strip search a woman for running a red light and ripping out her tampon.
All right. Those are the Douchebags of the Week for episode 151. Of the Hideous Creature Show. Glitchiness.
No.
Anyway, we're coming to the end of another Hideous Creature Show. You can contact us via our website, which is hideouscreatureshow@squarespace.com. You can email us at hideouscreatureshow@gmail.com. You can Facebook us at, Hideous Creature Show Podcast? Isn't that it?
Yeah, we should just give our Facebook page out now and just say, fuck it, you can get us there.
All right, that'd be better. You can give us a call anytime, day, night, drunk, sober, happy, or sad.
Keep them coming, guys. Keep them coming. I save them all.
At 971-212-6642. And Patrick, you had a bunch of them, right?
I do. I have them still saved. They're right in my phone.
Actually, you know what? Can we listen to them after the show?
Oh, we're going to.
I still haven't listened to them. I can't wait. You can listen to the show via our website, Podbean, Podcast Alley, Zune, and iTunes. And if you use iTunes, it would be so kind to take a few minutes out of your busy schedule to give us a 5-star rating and a little review. We'll love you forever. And it'll help us go up in the ratings. So anytime that you guys go in there and give us a little review and a 5-star ratings, that makes us more awesome in the internet. On the internet. In the internet? Is it in there?
I say it's on the internet.
I think it's on the internet too.
I've heard people use both. I like on the internet.
Well, it's a tubes, inner tubes.
Yeah, sure.
I'd rather be on it than internet.
Yeah, I don't want to be in those pneumatic tubes of information.
If you like to support the show, just tell a friend. Like, hey, buddy. Hey, I listen to the Hideous Creature Show.
I'll contact us on Facebook, where you can send that PayPal account.
You should check out what's a hot spot, Patrick.
Hot spot.
Wednesday was tell a friend about Hideous Creature Show. What did you do?
On Wednesday, someone said, you have a podcast? And I went, I totally have a podcast. And they said, what's the name of your podcast? And I said, The Hideous Creature Show.
That one guy, that actually was fucked up, is that I think I told the same guy the same story.
No, it was a girl. I told him.
Oh, it was a guy. Okay, so anyway, I saw a guy.
I told Nick Colombo like last week. He's like, you have a podcast? I'm like, Nick, you should have known I had a podcast.
Oh, that's
right.
And he's an internet superstar.
He is an internet superstar. And he's a very fetching man, if I do say so myself.
I have a fun fact for that.
No, let's. I see the look on your face, and you shouldn't go there. Right now.
I got invited to be in one of his the shootings for one of his.
Was it the finale?
I don't know what it was.
Was it? Did you need a lot of people?
Yeah.
Did you do it?
No, I was so hungover that the time that the casting call came up, I was.
Oh man, I should have done it. Bad. I had the kids. And he actually looked at me and was like, well, you can put him in a back room. And I'm like, not with 40 people there.
I hope Nick Colombo, I hope your show goes good. All right. Special thanks. You got anything there?
I think that I would like to thank a Mr. Mike Kelly.
Oh, I would love to thank Mike Kelly.
I would also like to thank a Miss Jenny Thomas, who I miss.
Jenny Thomas, Kayla, we miss you.
I would also like to thank Mr. June Button because I'm blowing sunshine up everyone's asses. I got to keep this streak going.
I have a special thanks, and that goes out to Patrick Williams.
You are the gold medal, and I stand with a bronze listening to your national anthem and in all of you.
It. I will not take a gold. You get it, motherfucker. I have a special super thanks to all our friends beyond the U.S. I was watching the Olympics, and I thought about all the people that listen to the show
in Zimbabwe
outside of the U.S. And those are the people from Indonesia, the Philippines. This is no bullshit. I'm not joking. Vietnam, Turkey, and India.
Ching, ching, chong, ching, chong, kai, kai, ah. It's Vietnamese national anthem.
Local racist. I don't think it's racist. I think you just like music. I have another thanks to Lydia, who gave us some stories, but we didn't get to them because
we need to thank SF Dave for giving us a movie menace, which we have not concluded yet, which I just realized because I didn't do it.
Oh shit! Okay, let's conclude that.
All right. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, I do.
Just do this because I know it's called like Gods of War.
Gods
or
of War.
Is it called Gods of War?
It is.
Yeah. All right.
There are over 550 million firearms in worldwide circulation. That's one firearm for every 12 people on the planet. The only question is, how do we arm the other 11?
Actually, it's called Lord of War because I just opened up his reveal folder.
Oh, I had the artsy version.
You had the French version.
Lords.
Mon Dieu de Guar.
Yeah,
your Guar.
Another special thanks is to everybody that is listening to the show and turning people onto it. Actually, I forgot one. Brettler, that is out in California doing the God's work. Thank you for turning people on that are working with you.
Is Brettler the one you told me about before you told me that Jenny had her baby? Yes, you did. You were like, Brettler, got a story. Brettler is a shepherd of the earth, and he is doing the Lord's work. And thank you, Brettler.
Thank you so much. Brettler, I love you, and we need to hang out soon. The intro of the show was The Internet Nerd. Did we use that one, or did we use a different one?
No, we used The Peep Show.
Oh, Peep Show, which is a great show on BBC. Peep Show, check Peep it show. Out. For the outro, I don't know. I wanted to do Latin Playboys, but I think it would be funnier if we played Kraftwerk Tour de France. Just because all of Portland is fucking Tour de France-ing.
The only thing I want to hear right now is Champagne Supernova, but I'm going to go with Kraftwerk too.
Okay, watch out for these guys and ladies. And, you know, I don't know. Some were good cyclists, but man, people can't get over wearing fucking bicycle outfits.
You look like a fucking billboard. With the triangle.
Anyway, all right. We're going to do another show in about 7 days. Until then, do yourself a favor and have a wonderful, wonderful week. Thank you, everybody. Toodles.
Faire du Nord, Paris-Roubaix, Tour de France, Tour de France, la Côte d'Azur et Saint-Tropez, Tour de France, Tour de France, les Alpes et les Pyrénées, Tour de France, Tour de France, dernière étape, Champs-Élysées, Tour de France, Tour de France.
I do want to go pee. Do you want to watch me pee? It would be nice if you watched
me. I should probably watch you pee and make sure you do it right.
Well, I'm just worried that I'm going to pee in your shower because you know how it's
pee in the shower. Turn the nozzle on. It feels good.
But last
though.
Time I did that, Jesse got really pissed at me because he was like soaking some grease rags in there or something. And he doesn't like his grease rags with urine on them.
That's stupid.